Hello and welcome to another episode of Our Stories and Conversations on Mental Health. I am your host, Matthew Modica, and in this episode, we are going to discuss, and I know I'm not allowed to say this S word on any streaming services, which is, you know, a shame, because when you're trying to acknowledge something and talk about it and bring help about it and we can't mention the word, it kind of sucks. But the S word, I'm going to try to switch it up with self-harm. But if you're watching this through the YouTube channel, you'll see that I've got a presentation as I talk about this topic. So if you're listening through Spotify, you're more than welcome to come over to the YouTube channel and have a listen. You can find us at Our Stories and Conversations. So, like I said, as you're watching this, it has now just popped up onto the screen. And I've called this presentation that I was going to do called Breaking the Silence and Understanding Death by Self-Harm and Self-Harm. However, I do want to let people know that this presentation contains discussions about mental health, including topics such as death by self-harm and self-harm. Some viewers may find the content distressing or emotionally challenging. I encourage you to take care of your well-being during this presentation. If you feel overwhelmed, please feel free to step away or seek support from a trusted person or professional. For immediate help, you can reach out to the following resources. You've got Lifeline on 131114. You've got Beyond Blue 1300 224 636. You've got the Kids Helpline 1800 551 800. And you have 13YARN, which is 139276, to talk with an Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander crisis supporter. If you are watching this outside of Australia, you can visit www.befrienders.org to find a death by self-harm prevention hotline in your country. So what I'm about to discuss, the data and statistics and talk to you about, comes from many sources such as Lifeline Australia, Life in Mind, Healthline, and Death by Self-Harm programs. I can't say the real word, but if you're watching on YouTube, you'll be able to see it. And these statistics are from 2023. 2024 hasn't been released yet. I will present the links at the end of this presentation. Again, if you're watching this on YouTube, the statistics you can't ignore. If you aren't aware, 8.6 Australians pass away every day by self-harm. That's more than double the road toll. Self-harm is the leading cause of death for Australians between the ages of 15 and 44. An unknown number of Australians attempt self-harm every year, with some estimates suggesting this figure may be over 65,000. An estimated 1 in 3 of Australians report feeling lonely. Young and middle-aged people were more likely to pass away by self-harm. So let's talk about self-harm in men. Well, death by self-harm in men. 75% of those who pass away from self-harm are male. A total of 2,419 men passed away by death by self-harm, compared to 795 women. Death by self-harm was the 11th leading cause of death for males. Men aged 55 to 59 had the highest male age-specific rate, and men aged between 40 to 44 years accounted for the highest proportion of death due to self-harm. Those who died by self-harm lost an average 35.1 years of their life. Now let's talk about it in women. In women, it's the 26th leading cause of death. Females aged between 50 to 54 years have the highest specific rate. Those who passed away by death by self-harm lost an average 36.9 years of life. Now, I didn't put this down. I didn't want to add it into the podcast because I wasn't sure about the stats. I heard it in class and I didn't know, like, the statistics, where they came from. So I didn't really want to say this, but I will say it. However, I could be wrong. Women have the leading reported of self-harm. So they've done it, but they haven't gone through it, more than men. However, men have more of the death rate, which is very, very scary, knowing that more women have attempted but haven't succeeded as many as men. It's just, we really need to get a hold of this. So now let's talk about it in children. It was the leading cause of a child's death in Australia. There were 94 children who died, accounting for 18.5% of child's deaths. Males had a rate of 2.4 per 100,000 children, 53 deaths. Females had a rate of 2.0 per 100,000 children, 41 deaths. Over 87% of children who died by self-harm were aged 14 to 17 years. That's 82 deaths. Whilst the rate for children has increased since 2022, it remains lower than the rate in 2019 and 2021. Now let's talk about it in Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders. It was the second leading cause of death for them. The median age at death was 33 years, 35.1 years for males and 27.9 years for females. Almost 80% were aged between 15 and 44 years. For males, the highest rate was for those aged 35 to 44. For females, the highest rate was for those aged 15 to 24. It was the leading cause of death for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children. Almost a quarter of deaths of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children were due to self-harm. Over three quarters, 75.3% of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children who died by self-harm were aged 15 to 17 years old. Over half, 55.6% of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children who died by self-harm were female. Now let's talk about it in the LGBTQIA plus community. 16 to 17 years were almost three times more likely, 11%, to have attempted self-harm in the past 12 months, and almost five times more likely, 25.6%, to have attempted it in their lifetime. Transgender people aged 14 to 25 are 15 times more likely to have attempted self-harm in their lifetime. People with an intersex variation aged 16 and over are nearly six times more likely to have attempted it in their lifetime. 48.1% of transgender and gender diverse people aged 14 to 25 reported that they had attempted self-harm death in their lifetime. 35% of transgender people aged 18 and over reported that they had attempted it in their lifetime. 19% of people with an intersex variation aged 16 and over reported that they had attempted it based on issues related to their intersex status. Now, how do we overcome these thoughts? Someone that is feeling like that they've got nothing left to do but this. This is, I'm not saying the cure to it. I really do feel we need to seek help, but I'll talk about that at the end. But how to overcome the thoughts is to talk to someone. The most crucial step is to reach out to someone. This could be a helpline. If you're uncomfortable speaking to someone unfamiliar or remote, consider talking to a trusted friend, family member, or colleague. The word, you know which word, can be hard to say, but try to be clear. Phrases like, I'm struggling, or I'm not doing well, might be misinterpreted, leading others to underestimate your risk. Take care of your basic needs. Self-care can feel impossible, but eating, drinking, sleeping, taking prescribed meds can help. Even small things like a banana or a glass of juice make a difference. You might have no appetite and feel drained, but your body and mind still needs energy to cope. Avoid alcohol. A drink can be an effort to escape negative thoughts, but alcohol is closely linked to low moods. Research shows that more than half of people hospitalized for self-harm had been drinking. While alcohol may offer temporary relief from painful emotions, it's a depressant and will ultimately leave you feeling much worse. Calm your senses. When you're feeling overwhelmed by thoughts of death by self-harm, it can be difficult to think clearly. And typical coping methods like mindfulness or meditation may not be effective. In these moments, soothing your senses can help. For instance, you could take a bath, listen to your favorite music, light a candle, or use a pleasant body lotion. Try to engage as many of your senses as possible at once. It may seem simple, but it can be a powerful way to relax, allowing you to eventually return to your usual coping strategies. Create a safety plan. A safety plan is a clear step-by-step guide to help you stay safe during a crisis. It includes actions like removing access to things that could be used to harm yourself, distractions to try, and people to reach out to for support. If you're working with a counselor or therapist, they can assist you in creating a plan, or you could ask a partner, friend, or family member for help. Having a safety plan in place removes the need to figure out what to do in a moment of crisis and provides comfort and focus when everything feels overwhelming. Exercise. When you're feeling depressed, the thought of getting up and heading to the gym may be absurd, feel crazy, impossible. It might feel like the last thing you want to do, but even a simple walk outside can be helpful if you're not up for anything more intense. While it's not an instant fix, gentle exercise releases endorphins, which can provide a small mood boost, and a change of scenery can offer a much needed distraction. Getting a support person to join you is even better. Create a hope box. When you're feeling overwhelmed by despair, finding hope can be difficult, but there are always reasons to keep going. A hope box can be a helpful tool to calm yourself during moments of crisis. Fill it with items that can distract or soothe you when you're struggling. Creating a personalized box filled with meaningful, comforting things. Consider including items that engage your senses, like photos, notes from friends, calming essential oils, a stress ball, or even chocolate. Seek professional help. The thoughts of self-harm are a medical emergency and should be treated with urgency. If you're feeling desperate and are already working with a community mental health team, reach out immediately to your care coordinator, the duty officer, or the out-of-hours helpline. If you're not receiving care or can't reach your usual contacts, go to the emergency department and share your feelings with them. They will connect you with an on-call psychiatric team who will assess your needs and determine the appropriate care. Wait. Wait for 1 minute, then 10, then an hour, then two. Every second you wait is a second you're still alive and potentially a moment closer to overcoming the crisis. Even though it can feel impossible, when you're feeling the pain, one thing you can count on is that things do eventually change. It won't be easy, but remember this anonymous quote: you've survived 100% of your worst days so far. You've made it this far. Don't give up now. If you know someone that kind of goes through these thoughts, this is probably ways that you can support them. Take them seriously. There's a common misconception that people talk about death by self-harm just to get attention. But for most, this isn't the case. It's always best and safest to take your friend's word seriously. Dismissing their mention of death by self-harm can make them feel like their pain isn't valid. This may discourage them from sharing their thoughts with anyone else or seeking professional help. Instead, they might continue to suffer in silence, believing that things will never get better. Ask them directly. To better understand your friend's immediate risk, it's important to ask some straightforward questions. Start by confirming whether they are truly thinking about death by self-harm by asking, "Are you thinking about ending your life?" If they say yes, follow up with, "Do you have a plan for how you would do it?" If they confirm they have a plan, ask, "Do you already have the means to carry it out?" Then ask them what those means are and where are they located. To check if they have a specific timeline, ask, "Have you thought about when you might end it?" Not everyone who has these thoughts has a clear plan, the means, or the intent to follow through with it. Encourage them to open up. When someone you care about talks about death by self-harm, you might feel tempted to avoid the topic and try to steer the conversation toward more positive things, hoping it will help them feel better. It's normal to feel scared or unsure about how to respond, but avoiding the conversation won't help. They may also feel that you don't fully understand the depth of their pain, even if that's not your intention. As a result, they may stop sharing their feelings with you. Watch for their language and behavior. People often talk about death by self-harm in indirect or ambiguous ways. Your friend might express feelings of shame, hopelessness, or failure without directly saying, I want to myself. Instead, they may say things like, I just want the pain to stop. I don't know if I can keep going. I'm a burden to everyone. I'll never feel better. Their mood and behavior can also reveal signs of distress. You might notice that they avoid socializing or spending time with others, experience frequent mood swings, sleep more or less than usual, drink or use drugs more than they typically do, engage in riskier or more impulsive behavior, give away belongings that are meaning or important to them. Show compassion. When speaking with someone who is having these thoughts, the way you respond matters deeply. Avoid denying their feelings or asking questions like, how could you possibly feel that way? Or why would you want to die? You have so much to live for. Trying to fix their problems for them usually isn't helpful either. What may seem like a small issue to you can feel overwhelming to someone in crisis. To validate their emotions and offer hope, try saying, that sounds incredibly painful, and I'm really grateful you're sharing that with me. How can I support you? I know it seems really dark right now, but it can be hard to see any solutions when you're feeling this overwhelmed. I'm worried about you because I care and I want to help in any way I can. I'm here if you need to talk. Keep offering support. If your friend is having these thoughts but doesn't have a plan or is an immediate risk, talking about their distress may help them feel a bit better. However, this doesn't mean they're fully okay. They may still struggle with these thoughts until they get help for the underlying issue. Staying connected shows that you care even after the crisis has passed. Check in on their well-being by saying things like, hey, you've been on my mind. How are you holding up? Just a reminder, I'm always here if you want to talk. Encourage seeking professional help. Another way you can support them is by encouraging them to speak with a therapist about ongoing reoccurring thoughts. However, keep in mind that you can't force them to go to therapy, no matter how strongly you feel it would benefit them. It's tough to watch someone go through this on their own, but telling them what to do may not always be effective. Instead of saying, you need to get some help, try saying, have you considered talking to a therapist? Or, I'm here to listen, but do you think a therapist could offer you some extra support? Now, if you're watching this on the channel, there are my reference of where I got all of the stats. I got it from Death by Self-Harm program. Again, I can't say it's the S word program, Lifeline and Healthline. But yeah, I just want to talk about my final reflection on all of this, my final thoughts. It's a very hard thing for people to deal with. Like, I know it's like a big thing. Some people brush it off, like I was saying in the presentation. Some people just think, oh, you know, you'll be right. It's not like that. We need to take it seriously because like nearly nine a day are dying because of this. And we have all of these things in place for every other disease in the world. And I'm not saying having mental health issues is a disease, but I'm just saying something that kills people. Like, we have heaps of, Vic Rhodes put heaps of money towards ads for car crashes and all that. But yet, death by self-harm is double than that. And we never see ads about this. We never see anything. Oh, we have mental health day. Are you okay day? We have mental health week or whatever. We don't have ads. We don't have programs in schools that I'm aware of. Now, I have lost someone personally to this mental health issue, and it's just, this person was like the nicest, funniest. He was the life of the group, of us group. Like, we all grew up on the same street. There's about seven of us that all grew up on the same street, all within a couple of houses together. And he was always the one that was funny. And we used to enjoy it. He used to make us all laugh. He was the best. He was so cool. And then obviously a lot of people just didn't see the pain that he was going through. A lot of us, you know, may not have reached out as much, or, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, if you feel someone is not enjoying their life, or if you feel that you've seen someone and you're like, hey, how are you? And they're like, yeah, I'm all right. Go, oh, yeah. Don't be like, oh, yeah. Be like, you know, you good, man? If they're like, yeah, I'm cool. Like, no, you know, I'm here to talk if you need to talk. Like, don't be afraid to talk. And especially in blokes, man. Like, men are the... So many men pass away from this, and it's because it's our last resort. They feel like they got nothing else that they can do, so they do this. And it's because a lot of us don't reach out. A lot of us like to be tough and try to fight through it. And then when we feel we can't fight through it, it's best that for our family's sake and for our family and friends that they all stop suffering if I just leave this world. But that's not the case. They suffer more when you leave this world. Some people that you feel don't love you, they really do love you. It's just a lot of people in this world sometimes can't show how much they love people. I'll be honest, like with my partner, she's a very emotional person and I don't show her enough how much I really do love her. And that's the problem. Like, it's just that we've got to really start showing each other love. We got to start really respecting each other. Let people know that it's okay to speak up. Stop making this stigma around mental health that you're weak or that you're this or you're that. You're not. You're not. And if you are going through mental health issues and you're watching this, you're not weak. Okay? You're strong. And getting help, that's the hardest step to get. But once you get that first step, you take that first step and get the help, it gets easier. Life's not meant to be easy, but for every dark night, there's a brighter day ahead. One of my favorite music artists, Tupac, said that, you know, and it's something that I always think. But we've just got to really start bringing more awareness to this, start promoting it more, like letting people know that we're here for each other. Let people know that there's help, there's things, there's communities, centers, there's all kinds of help. At the moment, we got nothing. We show nothing on this, and it's so sad. Anyway, I appreciate you watching this episode. I know it was deep. I know it was dark. We will have to hit these topics eventually. If you have anything you would like to say, anything you would like to share, you can email me at mhcmatthewmodica@gmail.com or you can message me on Instagram, which is MatthewModicaMHC. If you want to share a story or anything you would like, please feel free to email me or message me. It will be all confidential. I will not mention you. I do have more people coming on the show. It's just the time schedule at the moment. It's hard to organize it, but we got more people coming to talk about things, which, you know, some of them are dark. Some of them aren't so dark, but we will have these dark discussions. Thank you for watching, and please take care of yourself. Take care of each other. And let's really support, love, and care for each other. Thank you. And I'll see you in another episode.